My name is Matt Milner. This is Locals Only, and I am so happy to be with you here tonight. And with that, we are ready to send it over to Studio 2A. So pleased to be joined by my guest this week, Karima Walker. And Karima is a member of both Human Behavior and also the Wanda Junes, but also has terrific solo material that we've really enjoyed over the last several months. Karima's got a show coming up that we'll talk about, and that's going to be over at Tiny Town, I believe. But we'll hear more about that a little bit later on. So first, let's enjoy a great set from Karima Walker live in Studio 2A.
Thank you.
My name is Matt Milner, and I'm live in Studio 2A with Karima Walker. Karima, thank you so much for coming down tonight.
Thanks for having me.
I caught you mid-sip there. I'm sorry. So this is the first time that we've had you down, at least as a solo artist. We have really, really loved being able to share your EP here over the past many months. I guess it's been a while since it came out. Was it in the spring, I think?
Yeah.
But in any event, one thing I'd like to start with is just to hear a little bit about your musical journey to this point in Tucson. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned at the top of the hour that some folks may also know you from playing with Human Behavior and from with the Wanted Junes, but tell us about your journey in Tucson music.
Yeah, so I grew up in Tucson and wasn't like directly plugged into the music scene and wasn't really doing music. I would go to like my friend's hardcore shows at Scrappy's. and I started doing music after I moved away from Tucson.
Okay.
And I was gone for a while, and I moved back about 2 years ago, this fall. And I knew that I wanted to be doing solo stuff, but I also really wanted to work with other people and play in a band. And through friends, connected with the Wanda Junes.
Mm-hmm.
I had been playing banjo before and sort of recommitted myself to banjo, but I started playing banjo for the Wanda Junes, and we all started writing songs for that group and collaborating in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started working on a new collection of songs last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then recorded those up in Phoenix in January of this year. Mm. And in January is also when I started playing with Human Behavior.
Okay.
So a couple of them were starting to scout. Mm-hmm. I noticed them at a couple of shows, and then they invited me to play, and that's been really fun too. So.
Terrific.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
You found music during that interval. Tell us a little bit about when you started playing during that period of time.
Yeah, so I didn't start playing really until after college.
Okay.
And it's like friends would encourage me to play, and like I had a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
That I loved dearly. It's like a guitar from my family, and so I mm-hmm. sort of felt like a good burden of like owning that instrument.
Sure.
And like kind of doing right by it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was in Chicago and I was really poor, and I had a lot of time, and so I started taking classes at the folk school. There's a folk school out there.
Cool.
That's like really wonderful and very generous, and so they like would loan me a banjo, and I got to take classes there for nothing. And And I just kind of had this, like, right sort of connection of, like, time and space to start exploring things. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Yeah.
So when you came back to Tucson, what was it like to try to reintegrate? Not only, you know, coming home is always its own unique challenge and opportunity, and when you combine that with the fact that music had become a part of your life since mm-hmm. when you'd left, how did you approach trying to find a way to marry this, you know, the new passion that you'd found for playing music to reintegrating into your hometown?
Yeah, that was really intimidating. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know how to start connecting with people. I connected with the Wanda Junes. When I moved back to Tucson, I had a friend who also moved with me. She wasn't from here. And then she had a couple friends that I didn't know so well who were also going to move. And so kind of through that network, one of those friends works with Bobby.
Okay.
And so that's how that connection happened. But with solo stuff, like, I remember saying, oh, should I try and do, like, an open mic? Or, like, mm-hmm. How do I start connecting with people? And I remember seeing, I was sitting in Passe, and my friend, I didn't know him at the time, but Sam, who in Aroma or whatever, mm-hmm. he, like, I didn't know who he was. He was, like, listening to something, and I was like, I think he's listening to, like, mixes or something. And I was like, he's probably a musician. I'll just ask this person, mm-hmm. like, where should I try to play? And so I talked to him, and he was really generous with his time and was suggesting different places, and, like, and even got me a show and somewhere. And then, yeah, but I think, like, once I plugged into the Wanda Junes, that was, like, an amazing way for me to meet people.
Sure.
And to, like, hear other music and, like, hear where other music was happening.
Right.
So, yeah.
And tell us a little bit about the toys that you have with you, because for the folks who are listening at home, they can't see exactly what the setup is. So
yeah.
Just describe what your setup
is. Okay. So this is a practice in working with limitations. I'm running my guitar and vocals into a board and then throwing some effects on my voice when I push on this pedal. And then I have a recording coming from my phone right now. And this was the rain that was falling in Arizona today.
Cool.
And that is some noise for us. And then I'm running a Tascam 4-track through a tiny little tube amp, and that's what I did the first song on. And I was I was playing it like a keyboard, kind of. Hmm. Yeah.
And the set that you are playing tonight, and the, you know, the arrangements that you've done, what was the process of working through what your set would sound like, what, you know, what you'd be drawing on? You described it as an exercise in limitations, which I guess is always the nature of being a solo performer. You're working within those confines, but using it as, you know, opportunity for, you know, the sort of creative spark that comes from limitation. So how did you find yourself with this particular setup?
Yeah, I guess by limitations, I had an idea of, like, I have an idea of sort of the types of sounds and, like, tones.
Sure.
And, like, the type of set I want to create.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this morning I was starting to work with the Tascam and realized, like, I didn't have the right adapter for my mic. And so I did it through a keyboard and, like, a quarter inch. And so, or, like, it wasn't supposed to be coming through my phone. It was supposed to be coming through something else. And then, but I knew that I wanted it to kind of feel like my morning, which was really, like, peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also really interested in a very, like, slow kind of way that I move through thinking about things.
Mm-hmm.
starting to distort vocals, and especially coming from like a folk and songwriter background, I'm really interested in trying to take that apart a little bit. It starts to feel kind of boring, or it starts to feel like oh, I want to play with these things a little bit.
Sure.
And like, so it's intimidating because I'm using a lot of equipment that I'm still learning how to use, and order like the wrong parts for, right? Or like feedback. Like, I think I blew out some of my your engineer's frequencies in their hearing tonight through like plugging things in wrong. But it's really exciting, and that's like when I'm home trying to figure these things out, and I like can give myself to that process like pulling different tones out or like learning about this distortion pedal. It keeps it alive for me.
Yeah. Well, speaking of keeping it alive, we'll move on to our next set here. But before we do, you've got a show this week, is that right?
I do.
So let's do a quick plug for that.
So it is at Tiny Town on Wednesday. I don't know what time it starts. Probably like Tucson, 8 o'clock.
Right.
And then, and Lonesome Leash is playing. They're from LA.
Okay.
And I think a band named Crush and maybe Velvet. I'm not sure what the name of that band is. I'm really sorry about that. But, yeah, that'll be Wednesday.
All right.
I think I'm opening room.
All right, over at Tiny Town. So we're going to hear another set here by Karima Walker, live in Studio 2A, 91.3 KXCI, Tucson. This is Locals Only.
Sails with something else. Fill your sails. bruises on your body? What of all the fire in your veins? We took your children to the river, and every last one sank. What you pass through ain't always so clear. You ask for a window, and I give you a mirror. The darkness will fall for the stars in our eyes. Lay nothing to guide you on a star.
Locals only. My name is Matt Milner, and I'm live in Studio 2A with Karima Walker. Karima, thanks again for coming out tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So during the last set, we talked about how you came upon performing, writing, and how you brought that back to Tucson with you when you returned home. But I'm curious, before you came back to Tucson, when you were playing, were you playing in bands at all? Were you just doing solo stuff?
I had played with one friend's project in Chicago. And it was like kind of folk like and that, but very like quiet. And it was usually guitar, banjo, and violin. And I was usually like bowing the banjo. So it was very like, but still kind of folky. And that was like toward the end of my time in Chicago. But other than that, I've mostly performed alone, really, until I came back to Tucson.
So now that you've been performing with two groups, and not only performing with groups, but performing with groups that have large memberships, elaborate arrangements, harmonies, all of the challenges and the exciting things that come with, you know, collaboration and working in a band, how has that informed your solo performances, if at all? Are there things that you've drawn on that you gained from the experience of playing with those bands?
I think that I love being able to think about dynamics a lot, and that's way more effective when you can be really big. You have kind of this contrast, and that's something that I think both Human Behavior and Wanda Jones are think about. And I also really enjoy seeing how Human Behavior arrangements happen. And in the Wanda Jones, I think like you can have like multiple visions happening in any one band, or you can have one person's vision that everyone's kind of like contributing toward and like taking on to certain effect. And so that's something I'm really enjoying. Right now Andy is mixing, or he's in like the mixing process of this third album of this trilogy, and I only joined in, you know, in January, so this is, I haven't seen how the other albums have come together. But I really enjoyed watching him arrange parts and people, and like all the way from like getting everyone to rehearse at the same time to like thinking conceptually about a song and like with a group of people. And that's been really fun. Yeah, I would love to learn how to do that. I think that's something that I would really like to do in the next year, is asking people to play with me and like help me kind of extend these ideas that I would like to play with and communicate. But yeah, it's been really rich in different ways in both of these bands, for sure.
For the EP put out earlier this year, and it came out both on CD and on a 10-inch vinyl as well. You said that you wrote most of those songs last summer and then recorded in January. Is that right?
Yeah, some of them I wrote earlier in the year, but yeah, all mostly from last year. Yeah.
So the process of recording that album, when you go into the studio, are you trying to translate something that you hear clearly in your head and just trying to capture it on the record, or does the process of what the album will sound like, what the songs will sound like, does that come after the fact? Is that a product of playing and experimenting with the studio space?
It's totally both of those things. Like I was really like pushing for drier vocals and like kind of a more intimate vocal, and then like more expansive, kind of washier things happening like further behind the vocals. For a lot of different reasons. And then I knew that I wanted to have It was up at 513 recording. Dominic is an amazing multi-instrumentalist who helped helped track and mix that record. And he was really easy to work with and was able to play like multiple things. So after like a lot of time, I was able to, the exploring part could kick in where sure. It was like, oh, what do you have? Like, what kind of tools do you have to make this part sound really gritty or, mm-hmm. and then they know this tool belt. And so sure. like I could bring kind of ideas of how I wanted something to sound or feel. And then they would help me like articulate that. Mm-hmm. But there were things that like going in that I wanted to communicate.
Yeah.
And some of that stuff like, and didn't ended up not being on the record because then and some of it did. And because it's also this like collaboration, right?
Yeah.
Like they're invested to some extent. They're invested in making something that's like achieving its own standards mm-hmm. and sounds good, and that they're going to be proud of. And I'm also like exercising my like voice as an artist,
sure.
and so you kind of get to meet in this middle ground in the studio. And, mm-hmm. and I had worked with Catherine up there before with the Wanda Junes, and just mm-hmm. like loved the space, and I loved working with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that like this is a great place for me to be like learning how to do these things mm-hmm. and like learning from people about like all the different things you can do with a studio. And,
sure.
So definitely both. For sure. Yeah.
And if anyone wants to get their hands on a copy of the album, when is the best way to do that?
You can buy them from me at a show. You can buy them at Bandcamp or some like digital stuff's on iTunes. And then also Wooden Tooth is selling them also.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Show coming up Wednesday night at Tiny Town. There's also a brand new Wanda Junes album that just came out mm-hmm. in the last week as well. And if folks want to keep track of all that stuff and also upcoming shows, what's the best way to just keep tabs on what you're up to?
Usually Facebook.
Okay.
If I'm on it. If I can do that. Yeah.
Fair enough. Karima Walker, we've got time for one more set here live in Studio 2A, and then you can catch her live on Wednesday over at Tiny Town Gallery. Karima, I want to thank you one more time for coming down. I've really enjoyed
it. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Would you like to make something fine with me? We'll know fine when we see it. Take our time. And out across the lake, big as the sea, you were mine for a minute. Take your time. If you'd like to wait, well, that's fine with me. We'll know by when we see it. Take our time. What cannot hold will be simply wash back out to